News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
All right. So, Dalton certainly helps produce the show by getting guests on the show that I otherwise would not even know of. His bantering about the idea of bringing on a certain guest. We might get into this hour.
Yeah, why don't we actually, you know.
You want to just throw it out there?
Yeah, I was talking with Sean about this during the break, and we've been texting back and forth with our good friend Ricky this morning on the text line. Maybe Ricky will call us. He said he wanted
told
to call in this
told
morning.
Told us he would.
So, yeah, you know, I get approached about, you know, interview requests a lot, pretty often. Get in my inbox just, you know, all the time, people that are wanting to be interviewed for whatever reason. And every now and then I get a really, really tempting, you know, let me just let you into my inbox here for a little bit.
Dr. Macklin.
Dr. Christopher Macklin, yes. And he's got several topics he wants to discuss, and I would love to bring him on, you know, because we've been talking a lot about the vaccines, about masks. I mean, we've been in this pandemic now for well over a year, and want to show both sides of the story, right? So this Dr. Christopher Macklin, he wants to talk about the manufactured COVID-19 disease, the manufactured disease. That's what he calls it here. And he also says other manufactured diseases like HIV.
It's a manufactured disease.
That's what he says. And protocol for removing manufactured diseases. And also, and I've seen people talking about this, but I don't exactly understand. And that's why I'm kind of wanting Ricky to call in.
He's on line one.
Okay, cool. Because have you heard people talking about staying away from others that get vaccinated because they'll begin shedding something or another?
Not until today. So the idea is you're an anti-vaxxer.
Right. I should say there's a difference because, and I was talking with someone else on the text line, the mass media will have you believe that the country is evenly split 50-50 between those that are on the very extreme right and those on the very extreme left, not admitting that there are more people in the middle than anything, or at least close to the middle on one side or the other.
Right.
Same thing with just because you don't want to get the vaccine right now doesn't necessarily make you completely anti-vax or believe that everyone that's vaccinated is going to be shedding whatever it is.
So this is the first I've heard about the shedding. So the idea is for a certain group of people, they're thinking that the people who got the vaccine now are going to infect them with the vaccine some way.
Yeah.
Just like catching the virus from somebody, now you're catching the vaccine.
Right.
Okay.
And instead of, you know, scouring some message boards that might give me a virus on my computer, I'd rather get this Dr. Christopher Macklin on just to kind of give us his take on the shedding of the vaccine and also, as he says, mind control devices like 5G. I think he'd have some good information for us there. So what do you think? Is that a waste of time, that interview? Give us a text, 343-0106. Should I get Dr. Macklin on next week and talk about mind control 5G, or should we just skip past that interview?
Because it's the kind of email in the past we probably would have just skipped by.
Yeah.
But now you're thinking, hey, there's a lot of...
Seems to represent a pretty good portion of people that believe that same stuff.
I think he represents this guy. Ricky is on line one. Ricky, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How y'all doing?
Doing great.
Doing all right, Ricky. Can you explain to me, you've been studying this stuff far longer than I have. When people say the shedding of the vaccine, what are they talking about?
Well, it's like taking a big dose of heroin and cocaine. I mean, when you put your foot in your body and you start to sweat out the drug, it starts to come out your pores. I mean, any drug you take will start you put in your bloodstream and start to come out. Mm. What it is, what the former Pfizer president, okay, number one, is warning to stop the rollout because it's not been tested. I mean, it's an mRNA medical device that has not been tested. They put 72 poisons in it, and you need to look at the ingredients that's in the vaccine. Then you'll know what's pouring out your skin. It's causing women that are around men or other women that have had the vaccine, it's causing them to go in immediate bleeding, you know, the menstrual monthly thing. One woman had three of them at one time from her husband because she couldn't stop bleeding because he got the vaccine, she didn't. It's causing something to do your you know, like when somebody's vaccinated, to get around somebody's not, it's causing their system to start reacting against whatever's in their body. So it's causing it. From what we're being told, what I've studied on this, the mRNA is a medical device to destroy our immune system, to turn us into like, walking zombies of all kind of poisons that they put in there that's going to affect us and give us whatever they got. It's going to cause us to be sick too.
So basically, someone who's been vaccinated is a glowing orb of infertilization that is passing that on to other people. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, some kind of whatever disease, whatever they put the 72 poisons. I mean, it's Ebola, it's HIV. Look at the ingredients.
All of that in the vaccine.
That's in the vaccine. The vaccine, see, the scare was to get everybody that there was some kind of virus out there that's going to kill everybody, so they get you to take the vaccine. Well, the vaccine has the poisons in it that's going to kill, that's going to spread to everybody that don't get the vaccine, and they're going to, cause a complete collapse in the system because of that.
Ricky?
And then they're going to bring in martial law over the top of it after they see all this zombie attack, this stuff spreading like a real disease going around. It's going to cause complete shutdown of our country. Okay. This is an attack. A military attack on us from China, and
Ricky,
a bioweapon. It's not what people are being told.
Okay, thanks for taking a breath so I can ask you this.
Sorry.
That's all right, buddy. So do you know people? Have you? I know you've read a lot of things on the internet. We get it. You're very concerned. We understand. Do you know people? Have you met people in your daily life that are exhibiting these problems from the shedding of the vaccine?
We had people. My wife runs a Hilton Hotel. We deal with a bunch of workers that can't even come to work after the shot. They're sick. They're having the same problems everywhere. It's called the VAERS report. The CDC is just.
I have heard of the VAERS report. Yes.
And it's there for the deaths and the side effects. The deaths are over 4,000, they say, and the side effects are over 300,000. This stuff is lethal.
I got to say, Ricky, you didn't answer my question. Go ahead, Dalton.
Because, I do personally know at least 20 people I've talked to directly, like person to person, that have had the vaccine. And I got my first shot last week. And, Ricky, I got the sickest of all of them. And I was sick for 12 hours, and I've also had COVID, and I was probably a quarter as sick as I was when I had COVID from the vaccine alone, and that's the worst of it. So I can point to these personal interactions, but what you're saying is that the people I know and me now who have gotten vaccinated will just start dropping dead in the next year, or when will this start happening?
Well, they say it's up to the 5G, the nanobike technology. By the way, everybody that took the shots, you put a magnet to your arm. Your arm was the
I
magnet
saw
will
that.
Stick to
I'm
your
gonna,
arm now.
I'm going to film that. I'm going to do that today. Yeah, I'm going to see if a magnet will stick to where I got vaccinated.
Yeah, well, he's going to look like a refrigerator.
Technology is definitely in this thing, and it's hooking you up to whatever the 5G is going to do. It's going to be like a radio, a microwave. Our phones ain't nothing but microwaves. With signals sent to it. That's all they are, receivers. And when they turn that 5G on, whatever that nanobyte technology is going to do to you, it's going to either release more or make it worse, or it's going to really drive you insane because you ain't going to know what's going on with the 5G, signals going off in you.
I got some low-hanging fruit here for you, Ricky. What's your impression with what's going on with the Colonial Pipeline?
I think it's the new Green Deal. I think it's just, well, I don't think. I know it's the globalists just shutting us down. The globalists are attacking us right now. They own our politicians. They own our governors. They own everything. They've come in and bought us all off. They got us in a bad spot. Now they're going to crash the economy, come in like they did in 1930s for another crash, and come in and buy everything up and make us their slaves, get in the line, either get their chip or their mark and become their slaves, or we're going to win this war. save our country, take our country back from globalists and their scientists and their doctors that are lying to us about everything. The masks, the vaccines, all this was nothing but pseudoscience. There's no such thing as catching a virus, by the way. Mm. A virus is nothing but a dead cell. You can't catch a dead cell. If everybody would get online and learn about virology, just basic, I mean, I've been
online
doing it for 2 years now, and I'm telling you, it's not hard to understand. I don't think people even care enough to get online to find out what's going on, what's even in the vaccine. They just going along because they're printing out money and giving it to everybody like candy right now.
So,
well, all that is, all the money, the $10 trillion that they printed out the last 2 years, all that is your retirements, my retirements.
Yep.
All our money is being just blown away, and they're going to crash our economy if we don't stop them.
I can't agree with the retirement money. I do agree with you on the money that's being spent there. So I guess I'll leave it up to you. Should I have Dr. Christopher Macklin on next week to expound on what you're telling us here, Ricky?
Yeah, because you need to hear the other side. You need to, we hear one side because the media's paid off and our government's paid off. Sherry Tenpenny, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, is the leading virologist in the world. The former vaccine guy that worked at Pfizer, run Pfizer, it will come on your show. We got 86,000 doctors and nurses right now signed up to stop what's going on in this rollout,
right,
especially with the vaccine they're doing our kids. Man, I'm watching kids that are suffering from side effects. I mean, I'm just crying my eyes out. I can't believe what they're doing with these vaccines.
They're telling us we got to go to break, Ricky. Last question. Did you get filled up with gas during all this panic buying stuff here? Are you sitting on a full tank right now?
I got 6 months worth of food. I got everything in the world. I'm ready.
All right.
I'm ready. I'm telling you, everybody needs to get ready, too, because Bill Gates done bought up all the farmland, too. They're feeding the squeeds,
well,
the food line, the supplies.
Half is going to Melinda now.
We're in real, real trouble. But if y'all listen to us and get right with us, we can save y'all from what's coming, because we Christians that are Holy Spirit-filled people know what's coming.
Ricky,
y'all
we gave you...
go back to the preachers that know what's coming.
Let's calm down a little bit. We gave you your time on the air, a good 15 minutes, and you said what you had to say, and thank you for texting, and keep on listening.
Feel enlightened.
Thanks, Dan. Appreciate
you got it, buddy.
There's Ricky.
There's Ricky. His own show on the weekend. Good idea. Morning from Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig, FM Talk 106.5, 823. Hey, quick question for you now. Have you been injured in some way, maybe a car accident or injury on the job, something, some sort of a mishap, and now you're paying medical bills, and now you maybe are losing wages and losing time on the job? Not good. Sometimes these things just happen out of the blue. You're not expecting anything like this at all. Well, at least there's people there to help you. Their name's Boatler, Richardson, Wolf. They're a law firm. They're at I-65 in Dauphin Street, the big glistening glass building right there, and they're ready to help you. They'll be happy to sit down with you. I love this idea, too. They'll sit down with you, let them know what's going on, and that first consultation, that may take an hour, hour and a half or so. That's not going to cost you a dime. Why don't you let them know what's going on with you and your situation? If you've got a legal issue related to an injury, workers' compensation, some sort of insurance claim, and it happens to you out of the blue, now you need to know what to do. And it's probably to get in touch with these people, and then you start from there. You can visit their website at brwlawyers.com. You can call or text anytime, 251-433-7766. Good guys, and they're there for you. 433-7766 to Boatler, Richardson, Wolf.
Lots of texts coming in, a few fans of Ricky. I'm not sure how many believers, but definitely fans, and lots of people that say they turned their radio off. So there you have it. That's,
really?
Yeah, split right down the middle. I think some people think that that we're buying it, hook, line, and sinker.
Now, here's what happened. Ricky texts all the time, right?
Yeah.
Some days more than others. And this was kind of a releasing the valve a little bit. Just kind of like, look, Ricky, let us get it off your chest. And if we have serious doubts about something, which is maybe 90% of it, we might bring it up during the conversation. But I think that was just our way of allowing Ricky to just go ahead and let us know. And in the shadow of Dr. Macklin, who we were considering having as a guest next week, so it all kind of worked together. So we appreciate you allowing us to let Ricky on the air.
Yes. And there's a lot of people that feel that way. So that's what they believe, right?
That's where we go.
Listen to this. This is almost as insane. Have you seen how the FBI has classified? And we talked about this a little bit last hour. Sean will have Congressman Mo Brooks on today In the 12 o'clock hour, he'll have Congressman Mo Brooks on, who was at the scene of that 2017 congressional baseball practice shooting.
He was on your station that day, about quarter till nine.
That morning. That's right.
Yeah.
That was about 2 months into me joining the morning show.
Yep, I remember that.
It's been almost 4 years since then.
I was listening on that day and heard Mo Brooks on the air during, you know, right after that shooting.
So would you believe it if I tell you that the FBI classified that shooting as suicide by cop? That's how it goes down in the books. And now 17 GOP lawmakers who were either present on the field during the shooting or whose names were on the list of James Hodgkinson, the shooter that day, they've written a letter and are asking Christopher Wray, the FBI director, why the FBI concluded that that was suicide by cop and not domestic
terrorism. So when did they make that distinction that it's that because that happened 4 years ago?
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly when they put that label on it.
Yeah,
but it's definitely coming to light now. And of course, Steve Scalise, who was nearly killed in that shooting. I mean, he was shot. He was left there to die on the field. They picked him up, got him to the hospital. He still, I'm sure, is feeling the effects in a major way since that day. He was on with Fox, I guess, yesterday. Scalise said, it seems odd that the FBI reports would come to that conclusion when everybody else that looked at it clearly recognized it was an act of domestic terrorism. He said, we're asking Director Wray to go and reevaluate the classification, but also to look into why they came to that conclusion.
He had a political agenda that he took out in the most violent way you can. That was an easy call.
And just as, you know, the national media, they'll quickly go to the online social media sites of whoever does anything now. Mm-hmm. And if it's a Trump supporter, you know, it's the first thing that they put out there. If it's the politics is usually the first thing you learn about that. Well, that's what happened that day, and turned out Hodgkinson was, I think, a Bernie supporter? Whoever he supported, he was a very progressive person. Now, that would be like us saying that this is Bernie Sanders' fault that guy came to the field and shot, the way that some people say it's Trump's fault that some insane people do insane things, right? But this killer, piece of dirt, James Hodgkinson, remember that day he had a list of six Republican congressmen and was, you presume, he had the list of them because he wanted to kill them.
I guess the FBI looks at that list, you know what they see? A batting order.
Yeah, he must have been.
He's filling out the lineup card.
It's the most ridiculous thing. So if you didn't already know that the FBI was, you know, political, at least playing one side of the aisle over the other, then you have to know now,
well,
right?
In this case, there's no question about it. That needs to be a conversation with Christopher Wray. That'd be a nice. How about a hearing on that?
Right, and you might ask yourself, you know, what does it matter, right? It's over and done with. What does it matter what the FBI, what kind of label they slap on it? But it does matter, and I imagine, well, I know it matters to Steve Scalise,
sure,
of all people.
Yeah. Anybody that was there that day.
Yeah.
Anybody that was there that day, a horrible day for them. It's got to matter a whole lot. And they're in a position to try and do something about it, too. So let's review. Let's figure why the FBI came to that conclusion.
It's insane. Hey, coming up, we'll talk with Rob Hulbert. New issue of Lagniappe on stands now. He'll tell us what we can check out in it in just a few minutes. You're listening to Mobile Mornings. Dan Brennan and Dalton Norwood. Hey, 835 FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings, Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig on this Thursday morning. This segment of the show brought to you by our good friends over at 1-800-GOT-JUNK. And look at this, they got a website. Believe that? 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com.
I visited that website, and I did my business on that website, that and the phone conversation, and we got everything done.
Yeah, it's really easy, isn't it?
Really easy.
They have upfront pricing. That's probably one of the coolest things about 1-800-GOT-JUNK, or one of the best things about using them. You know, sometimes you'll get a company to do something for you, and then they're done with their business, and then you look at what they charge you, and you say, this isn't what we agreed to. Mm-hmm. What are you doing? You added all kinds of extra charges. They don't do that at 1-800-GOT-JUNK. They quote you a price, and that's the price you'll end up paying. If you have a bunch of junk in your yard, maybe in one of the rooms in your house, maybe your entire house covered in junk, just pick out what you want gone, and that's all you have to do. Of course, you have to give them a call at 1-800-GOT-JUNK, and they'll come pick it up for you conveniently at a time that suits you. You don't have to take off a full day of work and just wait for them to come by. They'll set up a time with you and be by at that time, and then they dispose of whatever it is that you want gone responsibly. Maybe it's one of those old tube TV sets, and you're not supposed to throw them in landfills because it's bad for the environment. They'll put them where they're supposed to go, and if it's something that's donatable, they'll donate it for you too.
You know what my experience was? I wasn't even at the house at the time because everything that I needed for them to take care of was in our shed in the back.
Okay. So you just told them that.
Huh? I was on a plane headed to Virginia and didn't have time for all that mess, and but we needed to get rid of all that stuff. And they showed up without even anybody at the house, took care of business.
Yeah, they make it easy for you, yep. Do like Dan and so many others here at FM Talk 106.5 have done, and give them a call today, 1-800-GOT-JUNK, or visit them online, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com.
Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig, 837 at FM Talk 106.5. Okay, so we were talking a little bit earlier today about a Senate hearing.
Yeah.
About domestic
and there were actually,
terrorism, or what was the actual
so they were,
all about? Because I know Shelby played a big role in it.
He did.
And also the Attorney General talked about an FBI study.
Yeah, there were a couple major hearings yesterday, and both in a way centered around January 6th, the Capitol riot. Now, the Senate Appropriations Committee, I'd love to hear, you know, Jeff Poor has so much knowledge about what happens in the halls of these government offices, but how do you end up having the Senate Appropriations Committee holding the hearing on domestic extremism? It's interesting how some of these things work out, but you know, Senator Richard Shelby has been the head of the Appropriations Committee until Democrats, you know, won the election.
Got power, right.
Yeah, got power. But he's still very high-ranking, and he gave opening remarks. So this hearing was focused on domestic violent extremism, and new Attorney General Merrick Garland, who was a one-time Supreme Court nominee, he's now the Attorney General. He spoke at this hearing. So did Department of Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. There was another hearing happening in Congress. The House of Representatives held a hearing. It was the House Oversight Committee. This was specifically regarding the U.S. Capitol riots on January 6th. We'll get into that here in just a little bit. But I think that Senator Shelby, who I haven't heard speak on the record very much lately.
Not.
It's been a while.
It has been a long time. Mm-hmm. And of course, his politics really don't necessarily sync up with the current status of the Republican Party.
Right, yes.
Tuberville's do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd say Tuberville and Shelby are certainly, they're different kinds of Republicans.
Yeah.
But yesterday, Senator Shelby said what I think a lot of his constituents feel. And, you know, going into a hearing like this, there start to be leaks. You know what the opening remarks are going to be before they go out and actually read them to the TV. And that's kind of the case here, where word came out what Attorney General Merrick Garland and Alejandro Mayorkas would classify as the biggest threat to the U.S. mainland. Here's Merrick Garland saying it in his own words, and then I'll give you a bit of what Senator Shelby said in his opening remarks that rebut what Merrick Garland had to say yesterday. And hold on just a second. Let me make sure I've got this audio plugged in here. And here was Merrick Garland yesterday at this hearing.
The intelligence community, in a report drafted by DHS, the FBI, and the National Counterterrorism Center, under the auspices of the Director of National Intelligence, assessed that domestic violent extremists pose a elevated threat in 2021. And in the FBI's view, the top domestic violent extremist threat we face comes from racially or ethnically motivated violent extremists, specifically those who advocate for the superiority of the white race.
I will say that when I first heard Merrick Garland say that, when I saw that that's what they were going to say, on its face, I was like, that's ridiculous. I couldn't believe they were actually standing up and saying white supremacists are the greatest threat. What he was saying there, of the domestic groups, white supremacists, they believe, are the greatest threat to domestic extremism. So I'll give them
right. That.
They're not saying it's a greater threat than China.
No.
Or Russia.
He was breaking
North
it down
Korea.
To domestic violence.
Right.
And in their assessment.
Yes.
Maybe because of the organ
the organized features of certain white extremists. You know, maybe they network better. Who knows where what they found?
Yeah,
but yes, exactly. So in his defense, if you want to defend him at all, he was simply saying, as far as extremists go, these guys are the biggest problem.
So then I'd like to know, you know, what are the competing factions here? You have white supremacists. Mm-hmm. You have anarchists. Yeah, you have Antifa. And you could probably classify anarchists in a number of different, because you have certainly white supremacist anarchists. Mm-hmm. And you have super left-wing anarchists as well, which you have in Antifa. You have BLM, which I say that, you know, I think a lot of people would say that they are members of the BLM group, mm-hmm. but I think that a portion of BLM is not in it for what a lot of the people think that they're in it for.
Right.
You know, because you say, and we've had this discussion for well over a year now, Black Lives Matter, that phrase on its face, I think most people would agree with, yes, Black Lives Matter. But then you see how upset people get when someone says All Lives Matter, and they say, what are you saying there? You know, it turns into a big argument.
Yeah.
But when you look at the top ranks of Black Lives Matter, they are avowed Marxists.
You got a problem with that.
They have a political endgame in mind that I don't think a majority of their followers believe in, right?
100%.
But also, when you have these riots like we saw over the summer, you have people that maybe aren't BLM, but using that as an opportunity to break into storefronts and rob people. We saw people murdered during the summer riots last year. I'm just wondering, you know, how did the FBI come to that
assessment?
Come to that assessment that white supremacists are. I'm not saying that they're completely wrong. I'm just wondering. Senator Shelby, he answered Garland before Garland actually said anything yesterday, and he said what I think a lot of people feel. And here's Shelby. Here's how he started his opening remarks.
Violent extremism is a very serious topic. Unfortunately, many of my Democratic colleagues have sought to make it about politics and race. They would have the American people believe that all domestic violent extremists are far right-wing white supremacists, and that all Republicans are complicit in their actions. Of course, both are false.
And he went on a little bit longer here saying something that I've said on the air, and I think I got ripped for it at one time, and I've heard plenty of people say this. Here's what Shelby said, mirroring the thoughts of so many of his constituents.
I believe the overwhelming majority of Americans watched the events of January the 6th with shock and horror. I also believe that just as many watched the endless string of riots in cities across America last summer with the same emotions. They saw Antifa thugs beat and intimidate innocent people. They saw violent anarchists burn police cars and precincts and attack law enforcement officers. They also saw far-left extremists hijack Seattle and destroy the livelihoods of so many small business owners there. Yes, and they saw Black Lives Matter activists trash cities and loot businesses from coast to coast, night after night. None of these actions is excusable, not those of January the 6th and not those of last summer. They're all wrong. They all violate the rule of law.
I can't find a single thing to pick apart that he said right there.
No, one thing that I noticed he said, and I think this is worth talking about right here, and this has got a lot to do with the conversations that are had online, some of the texts we get, some of the phone calls we get. He said, we watched those events with the same emotions, talking about the riots, right, over the week, over the summer.
Yes.
And we watched what happened at the Capitol, and it was horrible. Then we watched the events. If you go back to the summer, a lot of Americans watched those events with the same emotions. Then it gets down to rule of law. The two have nothing to do with the other. If you want to get down to it, emotion is in the way of the rule of law.
Mm.
Emotion can spark you, can drive you to try and get to the rule of law.
Yeah.
But again, there's so much emotion on both sides, people aren't slowing down to say, well, what's the law?
Yeah.
Correct?
Yeah, well said. And look at what's happening overseas and is being carried over here into the United States, what you have going on in Israel. And similar to what was happening on the Gaza Strip back in 2014, they're back at it again. If you've seen any videos of the Palestinians and the Israelis,
incredible.
The missiles flying into Israel, that most are being blocked by the Iron Dome, but it can't get all of them. Well, even here in the United States, you have pro-Israel protesters. You have pro-free Palestine protesters. They're getting into it in the United States. It's you could almost compare, not on direct lines, obviously, but the extreme right wing people who were angry enough to break into the Capitol that day. And then you have the very extreme left wing people, by the way, who have taken over complete city blocks at times. Remember Chaz?
Hey,
I'm just I don't have all the information that the FBI does.
I've got the information. I was going to be like the roving reporter when I flew out to Seattle last year.
Yeah,
and then the more I thought about it, there was such a level of unrest. I was like, I told my brother, you know, I thought I'd just kind of be a voyeur and check it all out. And then I was like, you know what? We went out to the National Park and hiked instead of going downtown and probably ended up in a whole lot of trouble. But again, the emotion of this moment, the emotion of the election, the emotion of January 6th, that's at the heartbeat of all of this.
Yeah.
That's at the heartbeat of every argument. If you slow down and take some emotion out of it, what's the rule of law? That's really the question.
It is.
And so emotion's going to always be in the conversation, in the argument, but it can't be the middle of it because what's the rule of law? And I think that's essentially what Shelby was getting to.
And well, now we live in an America where rule of law is, you know, even to the people at the very top, they're willing to, you know, ignore certain laws and
bend it, right,
and enforce others. And, you know, what do you call a country without laws? I don't know.
848 FM Talk 106.5. From Dan, Brennan, Dalton, Orwig. We're going to go to Ed and Sims here in just a moment. It's FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings, 8:53. We are followed up at 9 o'clock by the Jeff Poor Show.
Yeah, coming up today, Jeff will talk with Todd Stacey with Alabama Daily News. Let us know where we stand now that the general session's nearly done. Also, State Representative Steve Klaus joins the show. And J. Christian Adams, who it looks like is a election lawyer, he's going to talk about, I would imagine, the election and H.R. 1, a bill that the Democrats want to pass. And then wrapping it up in the third hour, former U.S. Representative Parker Griffith joins the show, as he's been known to do on the Jeff Poor Show. So looking forward to that coming up in the next few minutes.
Let's go to Ed in Sims this morning. Good morning, Ed.
Hey, good morning.
Listen, hey, can you turn your radio down really quick?
Can you turn your radio down real quick, if you would?
Ed. There we go. Perfect.
No problem. All right. All I wanted to say was you guys should not have to apologize for your opinion, because I believe that opinion is the majority of your listeners agree with.
Did you hear us apologize, though? I don't know that we had just apologized about anything.
No, okay. I'm talking about your attitude in general, that you shouldn't have to apologize for what you have to say.
Sure.
Because the majority of your listeners believe that way. You're given facts. They're given their so-called facts, you know, BLM and whoever. But when you look at it and you weigh it out and you get some centrist truth in the middle, I think that the listeners of 106.5, we're the type that believe the way you guys are talking. That's all I'm saying.
And thank you, Ed. I agree with you. And I think even beyond people that listen to this station, I think it's the majority opinion of Americans that a lot of the stuff you hear, you just put a little common sense to it and you say, what?
Flush it out.
It makes no sense.
I was looking at an old article from my family, and I didn't even realize this. This is how oblivious I was. But my father was an attorney in the state of New Jersey and father of 7 kids.
Wow.
So he's a busy guy.
Which number were you?
I was the ignored number 5. It explains a lot. So, and I didn't even realize this when he ran for the commission and the mayor of our town of about 20,000 people, and he won by an overwhelming margin. He, at that time, was a deputy attorney general for the state of New Jersey and was running all across the state. And he said one of the reasons he ran for mayor was to bring it back home so he could be closer to the kids and Mrs. Brennan.
Wow.
I didn't even know that. I had no idea. So when I talk about the law, it's not like I know all about the law, but I know what the law means. I know what the law's supposed to be. And that's why the emotion is senseless. You can have a portion of emotion with things, but what Shelby said and what we should all be saying is, what is the law?
Mm-hmm.
That's when you break laws to demonstrate against a law, it's anarchy.
And there's a, if you don't like the law, there's a process,
there's a
right?
process.
There's a process to change that. But whether it's just the day and age that we live in, or that, like the immigration thing. I mean, Shelby said this yesterday too, and because all of his other comments I thought were so outstanding, I didn't even bring up what he said about immigration. But same thing, he said basically, you guys, talking to Attorney General Merrick Garland, you guys are picking and choosing which laws you'd like to enforce
yes.
and which laws you don't want to
enforce.
And
that's a problem. That
right.
is a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have the laws. The laws are the laws. If you're not applying them the same way, that's a big problem.
I think about it even, it's probably, I don't know, nerdy of me. I don't know what you would call it. But when I drive here in the morning, you know, it's very early. Not as early as you get here, for sure.
Because I'm the slow one in class.
It's early. No one's on the roads. You'll still catch a red light, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll see people while I'm stopped at the red light. I don't know if they think that maybe it's a get out of jail free card or get out of ticket free card. But they'll do that little move where you'll see them go into the turning lane.
Mm-hmm.
Go into the next road, cross over that, get into that turning lane, and then they bypass the light that you were stopped at. Now, I don't have a real problem with it. I mean, I'm going to get there same time I was going to get there anyway. But it's kind of like a smaller – it's like yeah. throwing a piece of trash out the window. It's like what you're doing is indicative of a larger issue at hand here.
It's a little bit of lawlessness, isn't it?
A little bit of lawlessness.
It's a little bit.
You stack up a little bit of lawlessness over and over and over and over again, or you have big chunks of lawlessness, like just letting people stream through the border with no regard for what it means for the American citizens or the people that, you know, crossed the border legally, did it everything the right way. What happens when all this builds to an ultimate crescendo?
Yeah.
And it's not pretty.
And it's not pretty. And it is, once again, emotion. We get fed this news, and we get angry, and we get emotional because we think the law is not being applied properly.
Yeah, equally.
Equally,
yeah.
Right. Jeff Poore is on the way next. FM Talk 106.5, Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig, and we will be back tomorrow at 6 a.m.
That tiger's still on the loose in Houston?
He is.